And this week we're going to talk about the kingdom now. Because we don't have to wait to see the streets of gold or the throne. We can start getting into the kingdom now. There are things we can do. Because the Bible speaks about the kingdom not coming with observation. That means it's not going to come where you at first think you can work it out and see it. That's why many people are going to be surprised when Jesus comes, because they're looking for specific signs. They're looking for special things that they're saying, okay, this has to happen before Jesus comes. And they're going to be surprised because the Bible speaks about that. So we're going to be discussing that this week about the kingdom now. And then finally, we're going to talk about the coming kingdom in the week to come. The verse I chose is Mark 9:1 this week. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death. Sister Johnny, was not your time to go this week. I think this verse applies to us even more now. Let me read again. Verily, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. I think that applies even more so now. Even more so that some of you here aren't going to die until you see the kingdom come in power. Amen. 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 You know, the first time that the phrase kingdom of God is mentioned in the Bible, anyone know where that is? First time it's mentioned in the New Testament in that manner. Of course, in the New Old Testament, it speaks about the kingdom of heaven. And in the New Testament, also speaks about the kingdom of heaven. But the phrase kingdom of God, first time it's mentioned in Scripture, is just after Jesus is on the Mount of Olives. And, sorry, I hadn't put that out there. And he is teaching his disciples from the Mount of Olives, the Lord's Prayer. And then a little bit later in chapter 6, he speaks about the kingdom of God. Speaks about the kingdom of God. Does anyone, I've spoken about it many, many times. I've spoken about it many times because it was the thing that my mother wrote in the Bible she gave us. The first time the kingdom of God is mentioned, it's about seeking it. Matthew 6:33, the first time the phrase kingdom of God is mentioned, it's about seeking it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the first time that phrase is mentioned in the Bible. Seek the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is seeking the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible speaks about seeking the kingdom of God. How do we seek the kingdom of God, anyone? Praying. How do you seek the kingdom of God? If someone says, what does that mean to seek the kingdom of God? What does that mean? You need to turn it up back there. Put him first. How do you put him first? What does that mean, put him first? On a practical level, what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Does it mean just come into church? Well, then explain to someone. Imagine, I don't understand. Explain to me, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? Read his word. Study his word, okay. Yeah, the green one. You got to acknowledge him. Let me put what I, Sister Johnny. Keep talking. I'll fix it.
One once you deny yourself and put your trust and faith in God, and then God will lead and guide you into all truth.
Amen. Well, there's many answers to seeking the kingdom of God, but it says seek first. One of the things it means is that that should be the priority in our life. I mean, there's many, many things that we have to deal with. It doesn't mean that you can just, that you don't have bills to pay, that you don't have life to live, that you don't have to go to work. But where is our priority? Where is our priority? The Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You know, what's the first thing you think of when you wake up? What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Where do I primarily spend my energies? Is all my time and money spent on goods and activities that will certainly perish, or in the services of God, the results of which will live? The Bible said, rather store up treasure where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust can get at it. So to seek the kingdom of God is to really want to have a relationship with God. You know, when we want to have a relationship with a man or a woman, we seek them out. We get their phone number. We want to talk to them. Isn't that right? Can I have your number? Are you dating anyone? Right? You want a relationship. And then you're going to call them up. And you're going to wonder, well, can I call them 2 days in a row? Do I have to wait till Wednesday to call them? Don't want to look too anxious now. That's what it means. It means, where are we in love with God, basically? How real is he to you in your life? And it's sometimes the world will just come in and you'll get up in the morning and you're thinking about the bills and your job and what you got to do and just trying to drown out. But if you could, the Bible says he will keep them in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. You want peace, you're having a storm. There's not much you can probably do about it. You might as well start to just give it to Jesus. You might as well just start to say, God, this is too much for me. I can't handle it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to relax. You know, they have a thing where they're trying to build trust at these offices where they take them out to different places and they have a team and they let you stand there and you're supposed to just fall backwards because they're trying to build trust. And your teammates are supposed to catch you. So each one's supposed to go there and you're just supposed to fall backwards. Because they're trying to see how much you trust your fellow workers. That's what God wants us to do. To come into his rest. But most of the time, we don't really trust God. Not really. We won't sit on my chair that's right here, right? Takes faith to come and sit in this chair because you can't see it. But that's what God is calling us to do. So seeking the kingdom is a question of where our priorities are. How do we change that if that's not our priorities? How do we change to make God our priority? That's right. That's one of the ways, because when you hear a word that is being preached at you, the Bible says that faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. That's why we come to church, so that you hear something that will encourage you. You'll hear someone give a testimony. Sister Johnny was talking about how the two cars were shooting at each other and she was in the middle, and yet not a bullet came near her car. You know, that's when you just trust in God. I've told you my testimony when I was several years ago. I was driving on a freeway and the car came straight across the median right at me at 80 miles an hour. I didn't even have time to think. It was so fast, coming straight at me. I only got scared afterwards. It was so fast. You know, I mean, it was like split second. He just came across the median straight directly at me. I'm going 80 miles an hour. He's going 80 miles an hour. And it's only the hand of God pushed him aside at the very last second. And it was only after that I started to shake. You know, when I realized how close it was. But it wasn't my time yet. God knew I still had a mission. You know, when you put God first, he'll put you first. But a lot of us, most of us, use God as a fire escape. Isn't that right? We hit the church when house is on fire. When we got a huge problem, that's when we start praying. But if you treated someone like that, you only call them up when you want to borrow something, when you need something, that's not really love, is it? That's using them. And a lot of us use God, and then we expect God to just snap. I need you now, God. But where were you last month? Did you pray the whole month? Did you call me up? That's why I always try and thank God when I don't want anything. When I'm driving in my car and I get up in the morning, I just want to start thanking him, because I don't want to be thanking him because I want something. I just want to thank him to show that I love him. That's about putting God first. And I'm not perfect. I'm so far from perfect. But I'm learning. You know, as a Christian, you should be growing. You should be growing. You should be able to get through some things now, or have some understanding that you didn't have 10 years ago if you've been coming to church that long. So what we have to do is, as I said, the first time the word kingdom of God, the phrase kingdom of God, is mentioned in the Bible, it's in the context of seeking it. Seeking it. So let's look a little bit more. You know, you won't find what you're not looking for. You can't find God's kingdom if you're really not really looking for it, if you're just pretending, right? Psalms 27, verse 4. This is why David was so blessed. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Look around. Now, not everyone is on a seminar or doing something, but it was much more comfortable to stay in the bed this morning after such, got cold and wet. Priorities. If I didn't come to church on a Sunday, I feel very, very strange. Because my whole life, from I was 3 days old, I've been in church on a Sunday. Whenever we, a couple times, you know, during the year where we had snowstorm, it seemed so strange. Like, don't know what to do with myself. This is David. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, David understood about seeking, as I've got there, you won't find what you're not looking for. You won't find whatever you set your heart on. That's the direction. It's like, you know, they've come up with these helmets for the pilots, where wherever they look, they don't have to aim the gun. The gun follows their eyes. So wherever you're looking, that's the direction you're going to end up going at. If you're looking for a job or for a person, that's the direction you're going to end up in. But the Bible says looking unto Jesus. That's how the kingdom will come to you. You know, Zacchaeus got up in a tree. And he was looking at Jesus. You know what the Bible said? Jesus said to him, this day, salvation, the kingdom has come to you. The kingdom has come to your house. I'm telling you that if we're looking in the wrong direction, we're going to get what we're looking at. You know? But if we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, that's what the scriptures say. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God knows we have to go to work. God knows we have to do stuff. We got to clean the house. We got stuff to do. That's part of life. That's part of life. But still, we need to be seeking his kingdom. Lord, what would you like me to do today? Is there a person I can bump into, that I can witness to, that I can pray for? Is there someone at church that I haven't seen for a couple days, a couple Sundays? Can I call them? Can I pray for them? This is what it means to put God first. Now, me, my bad habit is I'm very tempted to just pray for myself because I got a whole lot of stuff. I have to force myself to pray for other people. Because that's me. That's my flesh. That's my flesh. I have to force myself because I can think of, Lord, I need this. Lord, you got to fix this in my life. But as I've said before, you know when God turned around the negative things in Job's life? When did God change Job's life? You know all the things he went through, all the negative stuff that he went through? Lost his children, lost all his money, got sick. And he thought, if I only can speak to God one-on-one, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. If I can just speak to God one-on-one, I'll ask why all this stuff happened to me, and then he's going to fix it. So he gets his wish. God speaks to him one-on-one, and guess what? Nothing changes. It wasn't until he went and prayed for his friends that God, the Bible says, God changed the captivity of Job. You know, when you don't have nothing, when you're sick, when you're broke, now that takes some faith to go start praying for other people. Because it looks like, why are you praying for me? Go fix your own business. But it shows you what God is looking for from us. It wasn't even the talk with God that changed the situation. The Bible says God changed the captivity of Job. The kingdom will come when we are looking for it. And when we stop using God conveniently as a fire escape. You should just thank God because he's God. Yes, thank him for the good things he's done. But try and find a time when you don't have a problem to just thank him. To just thank him. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for just being God. I really try and make an effort to just thank God for being God because I know that I'm going to ask him to do stuff for me. But who amongst us don't like feeling used? You haven't heard from this person in 2 years. Then they call you up. Got a favor to ask. Got a favor to ask. Well, where were you the last 2 years? They only got your number because, you know, I hate that feeling when people only want you and they can get something. And can you imagine how we make God feel? Because we do that to him. We don't just love him because he's God. So seeking the kingdom is something that we have to be intentional about. It's not just going to happen. And I'm going to show you that with some of the scriptures to come. Jeremiah 29:13. This is what God says. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You want stuff to change in your life? Are you doing it with your whole heart? God responds to determination. You can see that in that Syrophoenician woman. She came to him and said, my daughter is sick. He wouldn't answer. He wouldn't even talk to her at first. Finally, the disciples said, hey, can't you do something with this woman? He said, I'm only come to the lost sheep of Israel. And so she keeps on and he says, you know, the bread should go to the children, not to the dogs. Most of us at that point would have cursed him and walked away. Come on now. You calling me a dog? Effectively, Jesus did that. He did. Most of us at that point would have hauled back and want to fight. Come on now, be honest. We'd have wanted to fight. Jesus was testing her determination. She was so determined that this man had what she wanted. She was not going to leave. Just like Jacob. You think God is going to give to people who are wishy-washy? What did Jacob do? I taught it Tuesday night. He fought that man all night and would not let him go till what? You will get what you're looking for from God only through determined fight. Not that God wants to fight you, but he's not about to give his blessing to people who are wishy-washy. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to do what? He wants someone with a made-up mind that is in this thing to win this thing, right? That's what he's looking for. God is looking for someone who is determined. Jeremiah 29:13, remember this verse. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. Do you know the wise men were looking for Jesus for, it could have been up to 2 years. 2 years. They could have given up many times. When they came all over the place and the start, they could have given up. You know it was 2 years because when they found him, where was he? He wasn't in the manger. He was in the house. That's how determined you have to be. You want your answer, you're going to have to be like the Syrophoenician woman. Even if there's silence, you're going to have to tell God, listen, God, I'll take whatever crumb. Jesus marveled and said, I have not seen so great a faith. And he said, according to your faith. Because determination is linked with faith. If you have faith, you're not going to give up. You're not going to give up. I will not let you go, is what Jacob said, until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go. I don't care if you do hurt my leg. I'm going to hold on to you till you bless me because I know you have a blessing. See, most of us, when God doesn't seem to answer our prayer right away, okay, we give up. We give up. That's why he was teaching us the lesson with Lazarus. He didn't come right away because he wanted to test their faith. He wanted the miracle to be so much greater. You've heard my story. You're tired of it, hearing my story about my house. The miracle ended up being so much greater. If he had answered my prayer after 3 months, that would have only been three months payment. But 16 months payment? 16 months payment? But you know what? I did not give up. Every time I called them and they said, we lost your paperwork. I said, all right, in Jesus' name, I'm going to fill it out again. I did that 3 or 4 times, more than a year. And I was determined. I wasn't given. I think a lot of people would have given up after a year. Okay, it's done. They're going to. Even when they sent me the paper saying, we are not going to grant you this. It's over. Pack your bags. Get out. When they sent me the letter, I still refused to take it. See, I'm telling you a principle here about a kingdom. Determination. The Bible says that the violent taketh the kingdom by what? Force. You're going to have to. That's later on. I get ahead of myself because I'm trying to tell you about the kingdom now. You cannot give up in your situation. That's what this is about. Because we're on enemy territory. And whatever the enemy can do to trip you up, to take away your faith, to make you give up, that's all he's going to do. He will try and delay the messenger, like I taught before, where the messenger came from God, but the opposing spirit held him up for 21 days. When he came to Daniel, he said, look, from the moment you started praying, I was sent, but the enemy held me up. And I'll be teaching more about dominion. But we are in a fight. It is a real fight. Because as I've taught, God has limited his dominion to that of a son of God. So we're in a real fight. And Satan knows that. But the Bible says, he that endureth to the end. You know, you don't win till you cross the finish line. Did you know that? I try and go on the treadmill nearly every day. And a couple months ago, I came so close to doing what I want. I wanted to get through 200 pounds. And actually, I did. I got to like 199.8 one day. But of course, it was all water loss. I got so close. So close. And then things happened. Different things happened. And I couldn't work out. I got hurt. And I started creeping back up. And so now, last week when I went into work, I really didn't feel like it. I really didn't feel like I was feeling, you know, heavy and like I couldn't move. But anyway, I went down there and I got on the treadmill and I started to go. And I didn't say I'm going to do 4 miles because I knew if I'd said I'm going to do 4 miles, I'd have walked right out. Well, let me just see if I can walk 2 miles. When I got to 2 miles, I said, okay, all right, let's see if I can jog another half mile. So I turned the speed up, start to jog a half mile. When I got to half mile, I said, well, you know, I could probably push through to a mile. So I kept on going. By the time I got to the mile now, I had sweated off enough that I said, you know what? I probably can do another half mile. You see, you can't look at Goliath like that. You look at the stones and say, you know, all I need to do is get one stone. David didn't even have a sword. Did you realize that? He didn't have a sword. Again, you won't find what you're not looking for. If you don't believe that you can win, you won't even go looking for victory. We are in a fight. But the kingdom is there if you will seek it. Amen. And he shall seek me and find me when he shall search for me with what? All your heart. God doesn't take half measures. He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want to be double dating. You know, you got dating three other people and you give him one night. No, that's not what God either wants you in a relationship with him or nothing. Sister Brownie.
I think that God doesn't make it easy for us. I think the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. But I think if it was easy, that any old person would. But he wants to really test and try our hearts to know what's in our hearts. And there's no other way to purify gold than to put it through the fire. And yet sometimes we want it so easy, but that's the only way. And in going through trials, it reveals our true personality. It reveals all the stuff that's really hidden inside of us. And I think, you know, God looks at the heart, and he knows those that truly, truly love him.
Amen. You know, Paul took with him John Mark somewhere, and they went on a missionary journey. And when they came to going into a dangerous place, John Mark said, well, you know, I'm tired of getting beaten up and stoned and sing. Paul and Barnabas, you go. And he wouldn't go with them. So the next time they're going to go to a missionary journey, and Barnabas said, no, Paul said, no, I'm not taking him. He doesn't have a made up. He's not willing to go to the next step. The next step is being killed. Paul was willing to lay down his life. He wasn't sure about John Mark. So him and Barnabas actually got into a heated argument, and they had to go their separate ways because Paul was not willing to take anybody with him who didn't have the same determination that they were willing to die for this belief. And the day may come when you are asked, are you willing to die for what you believe? We need to start thinking about that we have a made-up mind. A made-up mind. I know I'm stuck on this verse, but this is such an important verse. And he shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. God doesn't want you to be a player with him. You can't be dating several other things. He wants either your relationship or go away. That's what God wants. Let's go on. Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means you're not going to suddenly see it in the way that the world is looking for right away. There will be a time when you do see it, but at the start, it's not going to come like that. Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. That's the translation of the King James. It's really not the best translation because it doesn't mean, as some humanists teach, that you are God. It's all in you and you can be all you can be, as the army said. No, that's not what it's mean. When he says the kingdom of God is within you, it's really among you, because who was amongst them? Jesus. It was speaking really of himself. Let me put it in another translation which brings this out. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, the proof that he was speaking about himself is that the verse after that says this. Then said to his disciples, verse 22, the time is coming when you long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, there he is or here he is. Do not go running after them. So what he was saying, when the kingdom of God is in your midst, he's speaking about himself. And they didn't realize it. They didn't see it. So Jesus was the beginning of the kingdom of God, the restoration, because he was the Son of God. As it says in Luke, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Enos, which was the Son of God. So when Jesus came, he brought the beginnings of the kingdom of God, and they couldn't see it. They were looking for him to be born in the palace. They said, nobody can be, this can't be the Messiah because he comes out of Galilee. No prophet comes out of Galilee. He wasn't born in the palace. They were looking for the kingdom of God to come in certain with signs. And Jesus said, you know, no more signs. God is not here to do party tricks, to entertain us. He said, you all demand a sign. The only sign is going to be given you is the sign of Jonah. who was 3 days in the belly of the fish. And what he was hinting at, that he was going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth. That was the only sign he said for sure he was going to give them. So when Jesus came, that was the beginning of the kingdom of God. How do we receive the kingdom? How do we receive the kingdom? How can we receive the kingdom? By seeking. Let me tell you one example Jesus gave. Luke 18:16, but Jesus called unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a child shall in no wise enter therein. He is saying to receive the kingdom of God, you got to be like a child. You got to have childlike faith. You just have to believe. You know? When I was small, I believed everything my dad said. If he said, and I've told you this story before, when he went to work to make money, I literally thought he was making money. When he said he went to make money, I just believed it. My dad said it, I believe it. He's making money. I thought he had some kind of stamp or something. He was making the money. When I was 4, he says, I got to go to work to make money. I thought, okay. That was my little puny mind. In my little childlike mind, that's what I believed. God is saying, if he tells you something, you just need to believe it. If he tells you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to lift you up, I'm going to bring you out. We start to, in our adult mind, saying, well, yeah, but, you know, that happens for that person. It's not going to happen for. We start to try and work it out. You know, when we grow older, we lose that belief in Santa Claus and the tooth fairy. But a little child, they believe all that stuff because they've been told it. They just believe it. Mommy, I found a quarter under my pillow. I put my tooth underneath there, and look, the tooth fairy came. See, when we're small, we just believe. That's what God is saying. The children wanted to come to him. For some reason, they just felt this attraction to Jesus. But, of course, the adults will say, hey, get him out the way. Jesus said, no, no, no. Allow them to come because such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the kingdom. A little child will be arguing with another child. The next minute, they'll be friends. We'll argue once and we'll keep that for 20 years. Not going to talk with him. See him coming, look everywhere but straight. Right? It's true. I see him coming and there's nowhere to turn, nowhere to run. I'm going to look at my watch. A little child, they can be fighting for 2 minutes. 2 minutes later, you come back, they're playing together. They don't keep, you know, all this adult stuff. That's what God is talking about. We should be quick to forgive one another. Tender-hearted, kind, loving. That's how you begin to get into the kingdom. Because Jesus made this very plain. If you're not going to be like a little child, you're not going to get in. That's what he said. That's as hard as if you're not baptized and filled. That's what he said. If you don't become as a little child in childlike faith, childlike love, you're not going to get in. Little child will take stuff and understand it before adults. They'll take your iPad and be working it before you. How did you get there? How did you make that work? They don't know. They just trust that they saw this one button work and it just works. We would have to work it out. Well, why does he do that? What God is saying to us, if you want to get into the kingdom, you're going to receive it as a child. Because God said it, believe it. You know, I told you this before, and I'm sorry to keep using me. When my kids gave me a birthday present of a T-shirt, and they had it specially made, and it said, because I say so. Sister Michelle.
I just wanted to share a scripture I was reading this morning that goes along with your teaching. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Amen. That's the key. That's the key. Little child will believe. You tell them that you're going to get a train set for Christmas, you better get the train set. You better get the train set because they're expecting it now. You went and told them. They just believe. They don't know you can't afford it. You can't pay for it. You just went and told them you're going to get a train set. You better get a train set because they have faith in you. That's what God wants with the relationship with us. When he tells us something in his word, that we would believe it, not try and say, well, God, look at me, look at my situation. You can't do it. We tell God what he can't do. Do you know that? We do that by unbelief. When we disbelieve God, we're really telling him, you can't do it. Think about it that way. That's what we're really saying. You can't fix my situation. It's too bad. It's gone too far. Even though we have example of after example of God bringing back someone even from the dead, opening blinded eyes, paying taxes with fishing. Peter, just go fish. First fish you catch, take the money you find in there and pay our taxes. God has done that for me. It wasn't a fish, but he did it. He paid $500,000 in taxes. God can do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think. Let's keep going. As I said, to get in the kingdom, because we're in a war, you have to fight. You have to fight. Pressing your way. Luke 16:16. The law, Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. You have to have a made up mind. You don't think you come to church, just get baptized, and then that's like a rabbit's foot. A lot of people I've baptized in the last 7 years, they have a love for God, but they're not willing to really fight. They give up. And they think, if I come to church, ask pastor to baptize me, just that alone is going to fix everything in my life. No, you have to fight. That's just the start. You have to get behind that baptism. Because you can look at the pictures that we've put of baptisms, and a lot of those people are not here. Why? Because they use baptism like it's a rabbit's foot, like a lucky charm. They think, okay, if I get baptized, it's going to fix everything. No, it's the start. All it means is that God has wiped your slate clean. You've got a brand new book, but you now have to start writing a new story yourself. You have to make good choices. You go back and do the same choices, you're really defeating what God has done for you. He says, every man presseth into it. I don't know if you've seen these pictures of trains in Japan or in some of the big cities like London, where the crowd is so good. If you want to get on that train, you're going to have to push. People, there's no seats. People are standing up, and they push to get in to get the door closed. Kingdom of God is like that. You're going to have to push because Satan don't want you to get on that train. He wants you to miss it. He wants you to be lost. We are going to have tribulation. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Even when things are going bad. Even when the storm is going round you. In me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Yes, it's hard to be told, yes, you're going to have tribulation. But it's just a matter of fact. Don't matter who you are. You could be the great apostle Paul. You could be Jesus. They're going to spit at you. They're going to want to kill you. In this world, you're going to have... That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means you're in this world. It means you're on enemy territory. It means you haven't come into the heavenly kingdom yet. But we are going to get there. Amen. If we endure. Acts 14:22. This is what it says. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue... This is the thing. People get baptized, but they do not continue. Continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation. Ooh, I hate that. Much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. It's a fight. And you say, well, why does it have to be a fight? Well, if you come out Tuesday night, you've been understanding. Because God limited himself and gave dominion to man, we're in a fight. But there's coming a day. And another one of my favorite scriptures, in Revelation 12, when the angel puts one foot on the sand and one foot on the sea, and he says, let there be no more delay. There's coming a day when it won't be that way, when the Bible says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. Then you won't have to fight anymore. Then you will be elevated. See, the Queen of England pays no taxes. You know why? You pick up the British money. Whose face you see on there? It's her face that's on that. She doesn't pay any taxes because it's her kingdom. When we get to the heavenly kingdom, we're going to be exempt. We're going to be exempt from tribulation, trial, and pressure, because Revelation 4:21-4 says, then God shall wipe away all tears. Sister Anita, the tears you shed this morning, if you endure to the end, the Bible says in Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away all tears. All tears. Wipe away all tears. And there shall be neither no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain. That's when we really come to inherit the kingdom. I'm not going to maybe finish this, but we're talking about inheriting the kingdom. Now, you can't do it through your own flesh, through your own will. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You can't will yourself to do the things that God wants you to do because your flesh is too weak. You won't do it. It's not how close you can get to the edge before falling off. Because you will fall off. Just a matter of time. You need to stay as far away from the edge as you can. Right? I told you the story of the rich man who hired the two chauffeurs. And one of them, to try and show his skill, took him up on a mountain road with no railing and tried to drive as close to the edge as he could. And he drove within 6 inches of the edge of this big old mountain drop off. The next guy came, he drove within 3 inches of the edge to show how skilled a driver he was. The last guy, he was testing out, he drove way over the other side. So the rich man asked him, you know, the other people I interviewed for a chauffeur job were showing me how skilled they were, how close to the edge they could go without, you know, what skill they had in steering the car. He told him, it's not how close you can get to the edge. A lot of us try and see how close we can get to the edge before disaster. Before disaster. Sometimes we make a mistake and disaster happens. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You can't get in there with this flesh. That's why this body is going to die one way or the other. Because when Jesus comes, it's going to be left behind. We're going to get a new body. A new body. No more arthritis. Someone was tested, Sister Lavinia. No more arthritis. Amen. No more pain. No more shoulder problems, Sister Princella. If you will endure to the end. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has got prepared. You can't see this in your eyes, but you can believe it in faith. That what God has is real and is so much better than what you have been through in this life. So much better. This is part of inheriting the kingdom. Galatians 5:21 says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, to be an heir, that means, what's your relationship? Your family, right? If you're an heir, usually your family, that's who usually inherits stuff, is someone who is the heir to the fortune. Well, the Bible is saying, if you do all of these things and are in their flesh all the time, you're not part of the family. You're not going to inherit. You're not going to inherit. Envyings, murders, and I cut out a whole bunch. There's a lot of stuff that it says that the works of the flesh are. All kinds of stuff. And it's not even sometimes just doing it. The Bible says if your thoughts, the Bible says if you look on a woman to lust, you know, Jesus took it up to a whole new level. Amen. That's why the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't. That's why we have to, as I taught Tuesday night, submit that dominion to God and say, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Lord, I need you to take my will. Take my thoughts. You decide for me. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. I'm almost finished. The kingdom is nigh. When does the kingdom begin? Well, Jesus said that the real change is coming pretty soon. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe this year. Maybe this year. Who knows? That'd be so good. I'm so selfish. I'm so selfish. If I start thinking about that, I can't help but smiling because I'm thinking about all the things I wouldn't have to deal with. It's selfish of me because there's many people who don't know this truth. That's why God has waited so long, because he's waiting for you and I to be witnesses. He told them, you shall be witnesses here in starting in Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world. You should be kingdom witnesses. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses beat us on that. Because we don't witness about the kingdom. That's what's supposed to be preached, that the kingdom of God is near. Repent. The kingdom of God is near. This is what we're going to be finding, the Bible says, when that kingdom is coming. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They've been finding so many new diseases that never seem to exist before. In the last 30 years, things that never ever heard of, HIV and all kinds of new diseases. They're finding bugs that are resistant to all kinds of antibiotics, that there's no antibiotic that will kill them. Men's hearts, there's been more earthquakes reported in the last 10 years than before the last 100. They've got comets that are coming close to the earth. They all say it's not going to hit, but we'll see. Bible says, I saw a star fall from heaven. Well, we'll see. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I was just reading the other day that the ice sheet in Greenland is melting, so it's going to cause coastal flooding. For the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. You know, when you look on the moon, when they take telescopes and look on the moon, what do they see on the moon's surface? Craters. Everywhere they look on the moon is craters. Every single planet they look on, they got craters. What does that suggest happened in the past? They've been hit. Why do they think the earth is not going to be hit? I don't know, but the Bible does say that there's going to be some stuff happening. The powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Jumping down to verse 29, and he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see that you know that of your own selves that summer is now. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. The kingdom is near at hand. It's near at hand. We're living in those days where God could come at any time. Don't be looking for the temple in Jerusalem to be built. Don't be looking for some announcement, because it's going to be a secret. It says that if the good man out of the house had known the time that the thief would break in, he'd be watching. See, he'd be watching. The house that I bought was owned by a policeman. So he had installed cameras. He's got 6 cameras all over the outside of the house. So I can at any time pick up my phone and I can look. Of course, it doesn't do me no good if someone was breaking in. Amen. But I could look. I could look and see if all around the house. I'm telling you, we need to get urgent and understand that God is coming. And we need to move our priorities for his kingdom above all else that we do, that we in no way miss out on that day. That we do not miss out on that day, that we have, that he is first in our thoughts. God, what can I do to make sure that I'm determined, that like I'm going to pick up every crumb that you let fall from the table. Lord, I want you to see my determination, because I'm going to seek you fervently with all my heart. Sister Shanika.
This guy, he was down at this store called Fallas on East Capitol by it's next to Piggly Wiggly and Wendy's. And I went in there. He was talking about how the people steal and how the prices are going to start going up. And I just started talking about Jesus with him. And he was like, well, I see, sister, that you're a believer. He was like, all these pastors are talking about condemnation. They're supposed to be teaching people, you know, about the goodness of the Lord, you know. And so me and him just got to talking. His attitude, it was okay, but it seemed like he was just really frustrated. But after that, he just became just so happy. He was like, hi, ma'am, hi, how are you? You know, he just got really excited because I guess somebody was believing in the Lord with him.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I taught about that. And Jesus in this chapter taught a parable. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was near to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. When Jesus was before Pilate, he said, don't you want to answer me? Don't you know that I have the power to put you to death? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You know where he's gone? To receive that kingdom. And he's coming back to rule and to reign. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. You know who that is? Me and you. Me and you. And he delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. In other words, I want you to go work. Don't just stand around. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus who you saw ascend in heaven shall so come again in like manner. That means he's coming in a bodily form, the same way he ascended. The prophecies in there in the book of Ezekiel that he shall descend upon the Mount of Olives and that there will be a great earthquake. We're living in the time and the age where Jesus is going to come again. But we got to do something about the kingdom. We need to start occupying till he comes. That means we have been given a charge. We have been given authority. We have been given a commission. We have been given things to do. He said, as he went away, he gave a kingdom. To receive a kingdom, he gave money. He gave gifts. The Bible says that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts unto men. I don't know what your gift is, but if you are in the kingdom, you have been given a gift. Hallelujah. You have been given a gift. And we're talking about the kingdom now. The kingdom starts now because if we saw, Jesus said the kingdom is among you. If Jesus is in your heart, he is inside of you. The kingdom is starting with you. Hallelujah. And we're supposed to do something with that because when he comes back, I want him to say, blessed art thou, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want him to find me doing something. I don't want him to say, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting darkness. But we should be doing something. We shouldn't let a week go by where we don't encourage someone, pray for someone, lift someone up, and ask them, is there anything I can do to you see, we are his image. We are his image. We are supposed to be transformed into his image and his likeness. It's not what would Jesus do, it's what would you do. That's what you need. We should get some bracelets. What would I do? It's not what Jesus do. Jesus has done what he has done. Now it's for us to do our part. Because he's given us dominion and authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope this word has found some good soil. I hope you dug away the weeds and the stones so that seed could fall into good ground. Because the Bible says that the words that, not that I speak, but that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, this Sunday school, Lord God. We just ask that it will find good soil. Oh, hallelujah. Let us be your servants. Let us be your true image and likeness. Lord, we just ask you right